Bible. It's on page 68 in the Church Bible, if you have the Church Bible handy. There should be one in front of you, just on the under the seat in front. Or if you're on the front row, obviously you have to look back a bit. Okay, it's on page 68. And we're going to start reading at the beginning of chapter 11. And we're going to read right the way through to verse 30 of chapter 12. So it's quite a long reading. But it's a familiar one. It's something you will have heard before. And there have been a number of plagues in Egypt sent by God to wake Pharaoh up on behalf of the people of Israel. But still, Pharaoh had dug his heels in and remained stubborn. Now we come to chapter 11. Now the Lord had said to Moses, I will bring one more plague on Pharaoh and on Egypt. After that, he will let you go from here, and when he does, he will drive you out completely. Tell the people that men and women alike are to ask their neighbors for articles of silver and gold. The Lord made the Egyptians favorably disposed towards the people, and Moses himself was highly regarded in Egypt by Pharaoh's officials and by the people. So Moses said, this is what the Lord says. About midnight, I will go throughout Egypt. Every firstborn son of Egypt will die, from the firstborn son of Pharaoh, who sits on the throne, to the firstborn son of the slave girl, who is at her handmill, and all the firstborn of cattle as well. There will be loud wailing throughout Egypt, worse than there has ever been or ever will be again. But among the Israelites, not a dog will bark at any man or animal. Then you will know that the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. All these officials of yours will come to me, bowing down before me and saying, go, you and all the people who follow you. After that, I will leave. Then Moses, hot with anger, left Pharaoh. The Lord had said to Moses, Pharaoh will refuse to listen to you, so that my wonders may be multiplied in Egypt. Moses and Aaron performed all these wonders before Pharaoh, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let the Israelites go out of his country. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, this month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night, they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs, and bread without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or cooked in water, but roast it over the fire, head, legs, and inner parts. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it, with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals. And I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is a day you are to commemorate. For the generations to come you shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. For 7 days you are to eat bread made without yeast. On the first day remove the yeast from your houses. For whoever eats anything with yeast in it from the first day through the seventh must be cut off from Israel. On the first day, hold a sacred assembly, and another one on the seventh day. Do no work at all on these days, except to prepare food for everyone to eat. That is all you may do. Celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread, because it was on this very day that I brought your divisions out of Egypt. Celebrate this day as a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. In the first month, you are to eat bread made without yeast from the evening of the 14th day until the evening of the 21st day. For 7 days, no yeast is to be found in your houses, and whoever eats anything with yeast in it must be cut off from the community of Israel, whether he is an alien or native born. Eat nothing made with yeast. Wherever you live, you must eat unleavened bread. Then Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, go at once and select the animals for your families and slaughter the Passover's lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it into the blood in the basin, and put some of the blood on the top and on both sides of your door frame. No one of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. When the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on the top and sides of the door frame, and will pass over that doorway, and he will not permit the destroyer to enter your houses and strike you down. Obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. When you enter the land that the Lord will give you as he promised, observe this ceremony. And when your children ask you, what does this ceremony mean to you? Then tell them, it is the Passover. Sacrifice to the Lord who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians. Then the people bowed down and worshipped. The Israelites did just what the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. At midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sat on the throne, to the firstborn of the prisoner who was in the dungeon, and the firstborn of all the livestock as well. Pharaoh and all his officials and all the Egyptians got up during the night, and there was loud wailing. In Egypt, there was not a house without someone dead.
We all know somebody who is not... Let's pray. Lord, just pray that my words will be your words, empowered and inspired by your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that you'll speak through me, that each one of us will know and come closer to Jesus. In his name do we ask. Amen. Right, we're looking at Passover today. And for some reason, most churches don't acknowledge it very much. Now, the Passover is actually the most important day of the year for the Jews. And it should be an important day to us too, because God rescued his people, and he's rescued us too, as we shall hear later. We're talking about sacrifice. So what is sacrifice? An act of slaughtering an animal or person or surrendering a possession as an offering to a deity. The most important one. Christ offering himself in the crucifixion. And perhaps what we should be doing a little bit more of. An act of giving up something valued for the sake of something else regarded as more important or worthy. Now the word sacrifice comes up in the Bible a lot of times. I'm going to give you a few figures. In the NIV Bible, it's mentioned 309 times in the Old Testament and 56 times in the New Testament. In the King James's Bible, it's 272 times in the Old Testament and 40 in the New. Now, anybody that doesn't believe me, I'm quite happy to sit down and show you every single one.
We believe.
Thank you. We won't be here all day. Right. Human sacrifice was performed before the Bible itself really mentioned it. But it was also performed in the Old Testament. Not by God's will, by people's will. Jeremiah mentions it, and several other people mentioned that human sacrifice was happening and how wrong it was. The one human sacrifice that the Bible, that God actually condemned, was Abraham and Isaac, where Isaac was put on a stone tablet, and at God's will, Abraham was going to kill his son. But God said no. And then all of a sudden, a ram appeared to the side, and they sacrificed that ram instead. And the smell of the cooking was good upon the Lord. And we hear upon the sacrifices in the Old Testament, whereas in the early days, where they made a sacrifice of an animal, the smell was pleasing to God. So that's the reason they did it. But then we come to an important part, where a major sacrifice was going to happen. Poor Moses, as we heard last week, went out of the burning bush. God spoke to him and sent him out to speak to Pharaoh. Now, as we know, Moses wasn't very happy about that. No, Lord, I can't do it. The Lord said, yes, you can. No, Lord, I need a helper. So God said, where is your brother? You will speak through him. So when we hear that Moses is actually speaking to Pharaoh, it's Moses speaking into his brother's ear, and Aaron actually speaking to Pharaoh. And that's what the Bible tells us. So as we've heard earlier on, there was loads and loads of horrible things happened to the Egyptians, and Pharaoh had his heart hardened by the Lord until we came to the last one, the Passover. Now the Passover was to be very important. The lamb that Rose spoke about earlier on that was to be sacrificed had to be perfect. That means no blemishes whatsoever. It had to be exactly 1 year old. What was given to the Israelites to do was when they were to make their sacrifice, they were to cook the lamb. The blood with a hyssop branch was to put around their doorways, and the fallen angel will then know not to kill anybody in that house. But it was, the important thing was that the lamb had to be eaten fully. That was every single part of the lamb had to be eaten. So some families were quite small, perhaps there was only two or three. So those families were told to join together so they could eat the Passover meal together. They were also told to eat unleavened bread. Now unleavened bread, most of us probably haven't come across it. They use it in the Anglican and Catholic churches for communion. All it is bread, salt, and water, baked. Hammered into a flat bit and baked. And that's unleavened bread. And they were told only to eat unleavened bread. Not normal bread, which has yeast in it, makes it rise. That was another important thing they had to do. And this had to happen for a week. And then God said, very clearly, you must do this. Remember this every year at this time for 7 days. Every year, celebrate the Passover. Now, the Jews still do. We don't for some reason. They were followed 1,250 years approximately. As I wasn't there, I don't know exactly, but it was approximately 1,250 years. And God must be tearing his hair out. We know what happened to the Israelites, the Jewish nation as they were called later. They kept getting things wrong all the time. Even God's special kings like David, who committed murder and adultery. There was Solomon, who couldn't keep his trousers on. Had 1,200 odd wives and concubines. I don't know how he had time to write his special things. But God wasn't very happy with them either. And all through the Bible, the Old Testament, God was trying to punish them and bring his people back to them, to him. But it didn't work, because he'd have a little while, they'd be sent into exile, come back, thank you Lord, we're sorry. And then what happens a few years later, all the same things happen, they're worshipping foreign gods, etc. So even Solomon was married wives and was worshipping foreign gods. So he was getting it wrong as well. But sacrifice during that 1,250 years, was a way of life. They used to sacrifice an animal as a sin offering, which the priests would do for them. So the same as perhaps in churches today, they go and make a confession. God, I've done wrong. All right, okay, you're forgiven. You look out and go and do it again. That's not what it's all about, is it? It's not what sacrifice is about. I've got another bit of paper here. So, our Father, I always imagine him as an elderly gentleman with a lovely flowing beard, white hair, with his arms out. I had a vision many years ago, just after I'd become a Christian, and just after I was baptised in the Holy Spirit. I was on an island in Scotland called Iona. And I was sitting at the top of a hill, and I was at my lowest, because my first wife had recently died. I had 4 children with me on holiday in Iona, and I wasn't feeling very good. And all of a sudden I had a lovely, it was in my mind, don't worry, it wasn't a great, I visioned of beautiful angels and then a lovely old gentleman in front of me with his arms outstretched saying, I love you. And from that time on, I knew I had to serve the Lord. That was something very special. He is a loving Father. He is so loving that he sent his Son here on earth. I know it's 2,000 odd years ago, to actually die as a sacrifice. Now, the Passover lamb, we sang earlier on, oh, how the Lamb. Jesus was the Lamb of God, the ultimate sacrifice for us. Jesus died that we didn't have to make any more sacrifices anymore. Jesus died that we may live. And we just think, a loving God sent his Son to die for us, for me, for you. I know when I stand up here, God speaks not just to the people in front of me, but to me. I know I'm a sinner. We sin every single day. We should be putting ourselves right with God every day. We should be making that sacrifice and saying, sorry, I got it wrong. Next day, let's try and get it right. And you ought not to do it. Let's come that little bit closer to our Saviour, who died for us. By asking his forgiveness, asking Jesus to come into our lives, asking Jesus to be our personal Saviour, we are saved. We know this. We hope you know it. Let's believe it. Now, it's going to be a short sermon, so I've nearly finished. Sacrifice is a personal thing. What are we prepared to do for Jesus? The Jews had to sacrifice a very special animal they probably kept for best. What are we prepared to sacrifice? Are we prepared to sacrifice our lives? Really, are we? Or are we half-term Christians? Turn up on Sundays, and that's it. Do we read our Bibles? Do we pray? Do we help others? Do we tell others about Jesus? Let's just think, do we? Can we? Moses said, I can't do this. God said, you can. I'll give you a helper. I'm saying to you, we can't do this, but we can. Because God has given us a helper. He's given us Jesus. He has given us the Holy Spirit. He has given us his love. What are we going to give him? So just think for a minute, in our hearts, what are we going to do for Jesus? How committed are we? So just offer a prayer for help. I know how difficult it is at times. It's very difficult to believe. Things go wrong. And we say, God, what's this all about? We blame him for everything that goes wrong, don't we, at times? But really, let's give him thanks for our lives, for Jesus. We've got a building here, and we can worship him. Let's thank him for it. Jesus is in the midst of us. I know he's right in front of me. He promised, where 2 to 3 are gathered together, I am here. Remember that. He is here. He is with us. When I came into the church and opened up, he came in with me. When you came in one by one, he was here. His love surrounds us. Let's accept it. Blessings to you all. Father in heaven, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for his love. We thank you, Lord, through him, you have given us a promise of everlasting life in you. You have given us a promise that your love will surround us and you'll be with us. Doesn't matter what the difficulties, you are there. We thank you for that, Lord. Blessing to you, Father in heaven, in Jesus' name. Amen.